human. It's great to see Mr. Tevin back. It's good to have the Harringtons here. Good to have the Harringtons here, even though we see them on Facebook, I mean on Zoom and everything. You know, I said, man, if I knew Harry was coming into town, this would have been his baby today. what a treat. But I am so grateful for everybody, and so grateful for everybody who's here. Delisha, you did a great job. Really encouraged, encouraged by all the work that everybody puts here in the church and everything. So super excited about that. The family's doing well at home. Candace is still adjusting, but recovering. But she's getting a lot better day by day. You know, it's a great thing. I think it's a part of good news what I'm going to talk about this morning. But it's good to see. You get to see healing and progress. You get to see people that's step by step, piece by piece, the physical, the emotional, and just the spiritual and the mental part, you know. Because I tell you, when you're going through some challenges mentally, that's a big battle. Yes. Big battle. Because you're trying to wrestle with, like, you can handle this and you just want control of this situation. And God has designed our bodies where it's like, it's just going to go through the process. I don't care how much energy you're going to muster up to do whatever you think you're going to do. I've designed your body to heal at a certain pace. But it is good news to see her healing and making progress slowly. I'm so encouraged by that and everything. Guys, this morning we'll be back in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark. Just going through the Gospel of Mark, learning a lot about the mission, the ministry during that time. Just putting it all together and just going to pick up in verse 14. But you know, we always think about the thing about what would Jesus do? We see the license plate, we see the tags, we see all the stuff. So what would Jesus do, you know? And there was this family that had this moment of what would Jesus do moment. And it was a mother and a father and their two boys, a fourth grader and a sixth grader. They were riding to school. And they were going to drop the kids off at school. And just so happened, the fourth grader, he was on crutches, had a little accident. And just so happened, today was his birthday. And you know how school's like, bring some cupcakes, we're going to celebrate your birthday. Mom baked all the cupcakes, got everything right, and going to celebrate the young boy's birthday. So, you know, the mom realizes that he's on crutches and that he cannot carry the cupcakes. So she turns behind and she says to her sixth grade, she says, why don't you help your brother carry his cupcakes to his classroom? And the sixth grader looks back at mom and says, I could, but I prefer not to. The father in his mind thinking like, this is a what would Jesus do teaching moment.
Come on.
Flips around, looks at the sixth grader and says, So let's think about this. What would Jesus do in this moment? The sixth grader looks at his brother. He looks at the cupcakes. He looks back at dad. He said, Jesus would heal him so he could carry his own cupcakes. Kids are always going to tell you the truth.
That's true.
Like, well, hey, what would Jesus do? He would carry his own thing. You know, it's just amazing. I love kids. At that age, like, you just gonna get the unadulterated raw truth. Like, you know, what can you do but laugh about it, you know?
Right.
Oh, man, that's so funny. But over here in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to talk about the good news. Spreading the good news. And, you know, there's a song that we sing that says, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I
couldn't keep it to myself. Come on.
That is such a true statement about us, you know. This is what good news does to you.
That's right.
When you get good news, somebody shares something good with you, you want to go tell everybody.
That's right.
You want to go shout it everywhere. They will tell you something, shh, that's a secret, it's a surprise. How many birthday surprises have you ruined? And they told you it's a surprise.
Yeah.
And you go tell it to everybody. But good news does it too. You know, when you hear some expected good news, you want to share it. You know, good news moves you to a place of joy, happiness, and peace. It adds that sense of security to your soul. It lets you know that there is one less thing to worry about.
That's right.
But there is one more thing to celebrate. Mm. You know, good news inspires us because it brings hope. That's what it does. It brings hope. And hope reminds us that anything is possible.
Right.
Especially the one thing is that people can change.
Yep.
Jesus is here on a mission to bring good news, knowing fully that if he gives people this opportunity, that if they hear this good news, that if not all, at least one's going to change from it.
That's right.
That's what Jesus knows. Here we pick up in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, and it says, after John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. Now, I want to stop right there because a little backdrop is this, that Jesus had moved on from Judea. He had already been starting doing his ministry, but he moved on from that place because Herod was doing his thing, going after John, and it was getting a little rough with that. But Jesus knew that there's a mission I got to complete.
That's right.
So I'm going to move to another place and continue to proclaim the good news. You know, the thing about this is, ask yourself, what is your mission focused? You ever think about that? What is your mission focused? You know, we can really be focused on things that need to happen. And when we're really focused in, and we're really like laser focused in, we're not going to let nothing else get in the way. Like when I heard Delisha sharing about like, 36 hours, I'm like, wow.
That's a lot of hours.
That's a lot of coffee. That's a lot of, her and Mr. Folgers have to know each other very well. Yeah. That's where we've been in. Yeah, that's a lot of coffee, man.
Intimately, yeah.
You know, and I think like, wow, but that's focus. That's like, I'm going to get it done. I got to get it done. I want to see it happen. And those are two different contexts. You know, it's like, okay, you know you have to get it done, but there's another context that says, I want to see it happen.
That's
because
right.
I know the joy that it's going to bring to people, and I know all the people that it's going to what? Benefit. Jesus, like, hey, the good news is here. And I know all the souls and everyone that it is going to benefit. Is that how you view your mission? Is that how your focus is, that when I go out here and I'm going to shine as this magnificent Christian for God, and I'm going to shine amongst all his other creation, and I'm going to shine for the purpose of understanding, I know that they are going to benefit from how I look, from how I walk, from how I talk, that other souls are going to benefit from it. And that it's going to impact somebody else that they may decide to say, hey, who are you? Why are you like that? What's this good news? What is your mission focus? You know, is it to declare the kingdom of God? Because we can be focused about a lot of things.
That's right.
And we can be declaring a lot of things. But it's not necessarily that we're declaring the kingdom of God. Here's another key is, do you enjoy announcing the kingdom of God to the public?
Come on.
And some of us are like, ah, I don't know. You know, the persecution comes with them. Ah, some people don't like church. Some people are anti-God. Some people are anti-this. I don't know if I really want to just feel that uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But do you find joy in announcing it to the public? You and I know that the public needs to hear the good news. But
right.
Do you find joy in announcing it? Let's think for a moment. What does it mean to be mission focused? Well, number one, understanding the urgency and the importance of the mission. You cannot be mission focused if your mission isn't important to you. And if it is not important to you, then you will have no need to feel urgent about doing it. There'll be no urgency about you. No urgency about you at all. There's an old song by the Winans that's there's some song talking about, you know, tomorrow, you know. And the basic song is like, you know, it's not promised to you, you know. Tomorrow is just, it's just not promised to us. It never has been promised to us. And that's why we have to take advantage of the day and seize the moment. And here you see Jesus says in verse 15, he says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near.
Come on.
You know, it's your time right now. Every day that you wake up, it's your time
right.
to share the good news.
Yeah.
And not only your time to share the good news, but it's also your time to hear the good news from others. To hear other brothers and sisters share about what's going on in their part of the world.
Amen.
You know, listen to Scott sharing, you know, about things happening in other parts of the world, you know, over there. And I was like, wow. Then, you know, man, I never think about that. Then I watch documentaries, and they're doing this documentary on Japan, and they're visiting Japan and all their food, and they're talking about noodles. And you think, boy, really, what's in the noodle? Cut some, make some flour, do some stuff. But they're talking about this noodle called soba. I think it's soba noodle. And how they just do this noodle so many ways. Like, it's a staple in Japan. It is a staple thing.
Huh.
just to understand how they do news a different way. They show this guy Master News. You think like, all right, what's a Master News? I was mind blown, like, that's mind blown what he just did with that. Took some flour, made a stack of dough, laid it out. He got it all thinly stacked, and he just cuts it by hand. And I was like, that's a magnificent. It looks good. You know, but you look at the various cultures, and you look at the things I see, it's like, they make the most of every day and every moment. Over there, they're focused on the Soho News. They make it with various things. They have over 300 shops. I'm like, Japan is not that big. You know, this step of the island, 300 shops. But it is a big thing, and they say everybody is unique in how they bring Soho News to the world.
Come on.
Do you know the good news that you're bringing to the world is unique?
Amen.
I think Scott shared about how we're all different in ways. God uses us to bring good news to the world from a different perspective. Because God knew and still knows that, guess what? Everybody's not going to respond to Sydney the same way.
Right? Yeah,
that's right.
Some people are going to respond to Scott. They just like the way he makes his news. They don't like Sydney news. Your news is a little too rock, a little too dense. Mm-hmm. You know, some people like Rich's news. Some people, they like Julia's news, Gloria news, you know? And even us, there's certain things we like about each other. We love each other, but we're like, no, but when so-and-so does this, I like this, you know? Yeah. Our good news comes in many different shapes and forms. To me, if I had a big noodle form, Julia would probably be like, what you call them people, like, deal with the public? She just gives me that, like, she's going to connect with the public. She's going to deal with all the people. She knows how to connect with them. She knows how to get them in. She's that community person, like, all right, that she does that. You know what I'm saying? I'm behind the scenes. Once you get them in, you soften them up, I'll take care of the rest, you know? I love, you know? She just reminds me of that, you know? You know, Gloria reminds me of that biz look. We just need to have it. Chop, 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 business. But there's love in it, but she's like, look, hey, it's going to happen. We need to do it. Come on, come on. You know, that noodle's different over there, you know? I love that, you know? That's the way our good news is when we present it.
Amen. Amen.
That's the way our good news is. We present it in so many different forms. And that's how God is able to win soul after soul over and bring them into the kingdom. That's how God is able to bring in a mixture of different people into the kingdom. Because he disseminates good news in different ways.
Amen.
Your time is now, not tomorrow. Your time is now. Take advantage of it. He says, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Says the good news is near. I read a book a long time ago by Gordon Ferguson. Can't remember the name of the book, but I remember the first few pages when it opened up. And it just basically talked about, really it was a form of good news before I even knew what good news was. But it talks about a man who was walking on a cliff. And as he's walking on this cliff, he slips, missteps, and he falls off the cliff. Luckily, he catches a branch, and he's holding on. And while he's holding on to that branch, he's yelling at the top of his lung, help, help, somebody please help. He's there for quite a bit, shouting, help, help. All of a sudden, he hears a voice that says, I'll help you. And the man's like, oh, goodness, thank God, yes. The man said, okay, what do you need me to do? What do you do? He said, I just need you to let go of the branch. Uh-oh. The man thought for a minute. And said, is there anybody else up there who can help me?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when God says he's going to help you, you just don't kind of like the way God offers the help.
Right.
That's right.
Although God is that good news, that help that you've been looking for, sometimes you just don't like it. And you would do what this man did. I'm going to see, can I find somebody else who can help me?
That's right.
Not everybody wants to hear the good news, but don't let that discourage you.
Come on.
You know, the kingdom of God is near. But what is the kingdom of God? It is the gospel of God because it comes from God and brings you to who?
To God.
To God.
Ain't that something? It comes from God, and the good news is going to bring you to God. It is the gospel of the kingdom because faith in the Savior brings you into his kingdom. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ because he is the heart of it. Without his life, death, and resurrection, there would be no good news.
That's right.
The kingdom of God is near. The question is, Do you want to draw close to it?
Amen.
Do you want to be in it? That's the key. You know, God has offered his one and only way to get into the kingdom.
Yep.
You just won't have to want to take God's hand and go that way. We have to stop looking around for other ways to get into the kingdom.
That's right.
We always want another way. There's got to be a back door. There's got to be a loophole. We live in the world of loophole, and I'm going to find a loophole in the statement. If you look on the news, there's so many opinions about how many loopholes you can get in and get around and make it happen.
Right.
Yeah, they call it the loophole of America. That's it. Loopholes. But God said there are no loopholes in the gospel. There are no loopholes in his standard. God said this is the one and the only way. And this is the only way you're getting into the kingdom of God.
That's right.
You have to accept the good news that he is delivering to you. And that good news comes through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the life, the death, and the resurrection. Stop looking for the loopholes. And accept the good news that God is delivering to you by way of Jesus. Finally, guys, he says the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. You know, when we hear good news, the key thing here in hearing good news is about how will you respond.
Yeah.
Response is everything.
It sure is.
Need a response. Response is everything. You hear good news, it may not be good news to you. There's a scripture over in the New Testament that talks about what Jesus is saying, you know, the good news that he brings, he says it's going to divide the household.
Yes.
He says, because guess what? The father may accept the good news, but the son may not.
Come on.
A mother may accept the good news, but the daughter may not.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so true. That is so true. At some point in time in our families, a lot of us, we accept it, but a lot of our family won't accept it.
That's right.
That's right.
They don't like what it all entails. To them, they're like, it's just too restrictive. Why I gotta change? Why I gotta comply? Why I gotta go this way? Our response is everything. I think Delisha was saying earlier about a couple of scriptures. I thought, man, how, you know, what a coincidence, you know, about the work we put in and how we do is going to determine how things goes in the very end with us, pretty much.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's basically like how we respond to the duties that God has discharged us, which is the duty of living this life according to his will, is really going to be the answer to whether or not we get into heaven or not.
That's right.
That's one of the key things there. Your response is very important. You know, repent means change, make it about face. The Army guy is going to get that. Make that 180. Believe is about buying in and following and obeying. Repentance alone is not enough.
Right.
It's just not enough. We're like, well, I changed, but I ain't gonna, you know, practicing that other stuff. It's not enough. You know, believing alone is not enough. Well, I believe in God, but I don't practice none of the things of God. Really, is that really believing in God?
Nope.
No, that's right.
Wait a minute, you believe, but you don't practice it. You don't believe. You can say it all you want, but your actions say different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over in James, God talks about that. Faith without deed is just simply
dead.
That's it. It's dead. It's worthless. It is dead. I think we teach in a study where it says, you know, watch your life and your
doctrine.
God knows, man. Watch your life and your doctrine. Because who's it going to save?
Yourself
and others.
That's right. You and people are going to hear you. Man, it's just kind of hard really to deliver the good news if you're only practicing part of what the good news is teaching.
Amen.
You either need to practice it in whole or not practice it at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both needs to be applied in your life. You just do. The good news needs to be applied in your life. If you expect to enter the kingdom of God, you know, you have to apply both repentance and believe everything that God is teaching. God is showing you. You know, will you repent every day to be more like Christ? That's the challenge for us. Will you repent every day? Will you change? Because we got to constantly change and grow. Things that I saw in the Bible when I first started, and I was all googly-eyed, like, wow, this is powerful. Never seen this in my grandma's Bible. Wow. I'm here I am now, 26 later in the kingdom, 26 years later, yeah, 26 years later in the kingdom, and now I'm like, man, this looks so much different. Growing every day, because I take time to be in the Bible and learn more, and it's like, wow. And I be thinking to myself, like, I don't think this was written in the Bible. I don't think this was written in 26 years ago when I first started. You know, God's like, no, it was there. You were just really anxious. You know, that's reason about don't be anxious about anything, but in all things be excited in prayer. God said, you was anxious in your early days. You was like, oh, man, you can do this. But now I'm like, I've never said that. But I'm blown away. It's like you see more details.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when you believe in the good news, the good news is that God loves us.
Yes.
The good news is that God has sent Jesus, our Savior, so that we will not be lost. The good news is that God has given us a set of standards to live by so that we can make it happen. You know, outlines, punch lists. We all have it on our jobs. You know, hey, complete this, complete this, complete this. And guess what? The goal is done. And believe it or not, if you look at your job or even school, when you complete something, there's a sense of joy. A sense of accomplishment, like, yeah, it's nice. Yeah, I like that, yeah. And of course, you're expecting to get a great review or a great grade on it, you know. I was with Candace in Dallas, it's become so much fun. Me and Tom, was like I say, and we were talking. I said, you know, he's asking, he says, how you doing with that? I said, you know, I'm kind of enjoying the suffering because I'm learning a lot. Me and Candace are connected. We sit in this room, and white room, all stare at them, and then you got like individual rooms with curtains. We talk, she do her thing, and I'm doing my thing, working the machine, and Candace is watching me with her hawk eyes, making sure I'm plugging everything right, and I'm like, I know what I'm doing, I got this, I'm doing the test, you know? I don't get excited. And I'm learning things about just washing the hands, and, you know, and that was as challenging in the beginning. It's like, I wash my hands, she said, no, do it again, get started again. I'm like, what? And so, you know, you have to wash your hand, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10. Now, don't put both of your hands up in the water. What do you do now? One hand at a time. And then when you go dry, you can't touch the faucet. So they got electrical faucet. But she said, what do? Touch it with the paper towel after you dry your hand. No more germs. So I'm learning all these details, you know, and I'm like, okay. But now it's gotten to the point where it's fun, you know. It's like it's exciting, you know. And it's like man, I understand what everything's for now. And so I've got to the point where I take these tests, and I'm like, oh, I just scored a 93. I scored a 93 on this test. I know something about this Dallas and stuff. Oh, I got a 91. Oh, I'm all excited. Candace is looking at me just laughing like, I said, girl, I think I'm ready to go back to school now. I get some good grades here, you know. But you know, you love that sense of approval. Like, I worked hard, I did the study, I looked at everything, and here's the reward saying, you did pretty good work.
Yep.
You did pretty good work. That's the great thing about the great news, I mean, about the good news. And about the fact that God said, put the work in. Man, look forward to the benefits. Look forward to the reward of all that you put in. You know, will you grow in your faith daily to embrace the good news? Will you make every effort to change daily to embrace the good news? Will you be an individual who will promote and shout at the top of your lungs and your body actions and your mental state and your emotional state that the kingdom of God is near? So this is your opportunity to repent and believe the good news.
Amen.
Let's be like Jesus. Let's take it to this world. Let's encourage one another. And let's shout, the kingdom of God is near. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Amen.